What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Good morning. Thank you for all of your text messages coming through. Keep them coming. Love to know your thoughts this morning as we have been chatting about getting your thoughts. Do you agree or do you disagree with the new voluntary assisted dying laws, or the VAD laws, that have come into effect here in Western Australia recently, in July in fact? And to have a chat about it this morning on the line, my regular guest Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group is with me. Good morning, Simon. It's nice to talk to you once again.
Good morning, Mike. You're always good to be with you.
Hot topic this morning. We've got we've been doing a poll on our Instagram page as well as on the text line continuing this morning. I thought I'd give the latest stats. We're currently sitting at 70. We asked the question, do you agree or disagree? Currently 78% don't agree and 22% agreeing. And I'm still getting messages coming through telling me people are agreeing, and because of loved ones or people they know. For those that are not quite across the latest law, can you just give us a brief summary, a bit of an overview of what this new voluntary assisted dying law is now in place?
For sure. Look, yes, a complex and divisive issue. Interestingly, I think it's been less divisive since it became law. Certainly early on, we saw the now shadow Attorney General, Nick Gawron, arguing strenuously against any such legislation being brought in, and it really did divide society, I guess, as an issue. It's now law. The Act is called the Voluntary Assisted Dying Act of 2019. It's a WA Act, and look, it's gone a long way to balancing things out, even if you are very anti-euthanasia. So it makes it clear that the whole piece of legislation is based on some pretty solid principles. Every human life has equal value. It's a person's autonomous decision to end their life how they want. Someone, though, has to be supported in making informed decisions, and that's a term we'll probably come back to. It's a very important legal term. And also that a person approaching the end of life should not only be provided with high-quality care and treatment, but also options that genuinely keep them out of the type of high-level pain that too often comes with terminal illness. There's a lot about it that has tried very hard to take into account the early criticisms of the draft legislation. So that's it in a nutshell, but there's so much more in terms of the concerns that society still has, but also the stories that people obviously have where they've had to endure a loved one suffering.
That's what we're getting through. Heaps of messages coming through to exactly that, Simon. So I'm going to put you back on hold. Lots of questions for you. We'll come back and then we'll continue our chat shortly after this one. My guest on the line this morning is Simon Creek, and we're talking about the new voluntary assisted dying laws. Do you agree or disagree? Love to know. Text in on 0429 985 985. This is Weekdays with Mike. Joining me on the line this morning is my regular guest, Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group. We've been chatting about the new voluntary assisted dying laws, and also joining us on the line, Caleb. Good morning, Caleb. Are you there, Caleb? Here we go. Let's have a look. We might just try that one. Are you there, Caleb?
I am indeed.
Oh, sorry, we got you, mate. You got some thoughts on this?
Yeah, so I was always very against the voluntary assisted dying. As I think someone else said before, I believe that, you know, God is the only one that has the right to give and take life. However, since the new laws have come through, I guess I've been doing some thinking, and I think if I had to watch some family suffer, or myself even, I'm not sure. I might think differently about it. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure where I sit on it anymore, so...
Okay, thanks, Caleb. Interesting thought, and I think we're getting a lot of messages coming through with that same sort of... a lot of people thought initially no, but are starting to have second thoughts. Simon, what are your thoughts on that, Caleb?
Look, it's pretty much close to my position, the big caveat I put on myself changing my mind, if you like, is that we haven't yet seen these laws in operation. And that's where the rubber hits the road. That's where the flaws in the legislation, if they're there, will be exploited. And it's where a lot of the concerns, if they are going to be realised, will come into play. And there are concerns, you know, about the interaction between these laws and somebody who is already vulnerable by way of age or another illness, being put under pressure. The whole intersection of the voluntary assisted dying laws and elder abuse are the scourge we are seeing across our community. There are big questions about that. There's a whole pile of questions around the whole concept, as I mentioned earlier, of informed consent and what that actually is. So again, getting into those details is what—that's where I've still got a big question mark.
Okay, Simon, what would happen with things like thinking about insurance payments? Where does all that sit?
This is something that's been debated quite fearlessly by insurance companies in other mediums with me, but. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter what life insurance companies are saying at the moment, the policies don't entertain euthanasia or these laws. And even if at the moment brokers are ringing into different discussions and saying things like, we're already going to pay out if there is a terminal illness a lot of the time, or at least some of the super, it's very easy for insurers to get out of making payments on any number of loopholes. And I think this definitely represents a possible loophole. So I would be wanting to clarify that up front, writing via a lawyer with my insurer before I signed off on a voluntary assisted death. That's the best advice I can give people on that one.
Interesting. Simon, I'll put you on hold. You okay to hang on there? We've got a heap of more questions coming through and comments, and we'll continue our chat. You are on at 98.5. My regular guest on the line this morning is Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group, and we're chatting about the new voluntary assisted dying laws. Love to know your thoughts. You can give us a call, 9313 0985. On 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group is on the line, and we have been discussing the new voluntary assisted dying laws that got introduced into Western Australia, the VAD laws, in July. And Ben, good morning. You wanted to join the conversation this morning?
Yeah, g'day, Michael, Simon. So I am quite strongly opposed to the laws, but along with what other callers have said, I'm also a bit concerned about the potential for the abuse of the system of it. So I was kind of thinking along the lines of having rules in place as to, like, very stringent rules as to who can actually receive it, as well as having it as an absolute last resort for those who need it, you know?
Yeah, great question, Ben. Look, thanks for calling in this morning and joining the conversation. I know you touched on that, Simon, just a little while ago about having stringent rules, says Ben.
Look, the safeguards have been deliberated over for a long while. I still have the concern that they might not be enough or that they could be manipulated, but time is really the only thing that will tell that. In the meantime, the law, as it was finally enacted, does have a whole pile of tests. The eligibility criteria are very strict. It's definitely a last resort because you have to have been diagnosed by two doctors with a terminal illness. So it's certainly not something that could be a substitute for unnecessary suicide in the normal definition of that word. There's a lot of things like that. The steps that the patient has to go through in order to be approved for a voluntary assisted death, it's a long list. It's a punchy process because it's assumed in the law that by the time somebody needs to be assessed and they're asking for this, they are so ill that they might not have long left to live. And I think that's one of the grey areas too, because when you think about that, if you're a doctor, someone comes to you, they are very, very ill, they're in a lot of pain, it's a terminal illness without doubt, but they haven't perhaps been aware of it for long, does the timing and does the pain at that early point already interfere with their ability to give informed consent? There's a lot of questions about that.
Simon, before this was introduced, what did the pros and cons look like before it was decided?
It was a very, very full-on debate, there's no doubt about that, and so it should have been. And I think many listeners will remember it. It was an argument that I think took up Parliament for nearly 24 hours in one go once.
I think that was
in a nutshell. It was full-on. In a nutshell, the pro-voluntary assisted dying laws argument was, and this one is, I think, the strongest, these laws won't actually result in more people dying, because these people are already and only ever terminally ill. So they're going to die. I think that's a strong argument. The majority of the population does seem to have been in favour of it. I think across Australia that's beyond doubt. And then there's this argument that those suffering shouldn't suffer because of someone else's beliefs. And look, you know I share the Christian faith, and I too believe God ultimately is the one in charge of life and death. Notwithstanding that, and I don't think it necessarily conflicts, I still have a problem imposing my belief on others, and I would struggle with that if they were in absolute agonising pain. On the other side, the whole anti-argument, I think it's all of the common sense concerns that spring to our mind straight away. How can these laws be abused in any number of ways? There are concerns about, I think very legitimate ones, about the whole safeguard on two doctors signing off on this. That to me is a little bit loose. You don't have to be specialists. You could have two GPs as long as they've been in practice for 10 years each. Not entirely convinced that that's good enough. Not wanting to criticise GPs at all, but they themselves would say they're not specialists in an area like this. And I have to say, for those doctors listening, I'll just chuck this in for them. If I were you, if I were your lawyer, I would not be advising you to participate in this process, because I can see family members suing GPs, suing any doctors after this. I can see that as a real risk for doctors.
Wow. Simon, we'll go to a song, we'll come back and we'll talk some more, and we'll probably have to wrap up. We've still got lots of messages coming through and phone calls as well. We'll try and get to those. You are on at 98.5. You okay to hang on a bit longer, Simon?
For sure.
Simon Creek is my guest on the line this morning from HHG Legal Group, and we are talking about the new voluntary assisted dying laws that came into effect in WA in July. Back after this one. On 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group is on the line, and we've been chatting about the new VAD laws that have come into play in WA. Simon, we are out of time, but just to wrap up today, what would be your legal advice? What legal advice should be considered if you're choosing to die early, and should this be included in your will?
Great question. All right, let's fly through this, because it could be a long answer. I'll try and make
short.
I'll start by saying that the whole concept of going and getting a simple will is just ancient history now. What we call estate planning, which is, you know, the whole process of your will and other things, did get more complicated in one way because of the voluntary assisted dying laws. But here's how I would approach that. So first of all, yes, there is nothing stopping you putting some sort of reference in your will, but it's not going to be of much use there, because at that point, you've already passed away. Where you can make reference to it is in other documentation that you want people to read, your family in particular, prior to you getting terminally ill. You can't, though, say in your enduring power of guardianship, and this is where you can direct someone to make medical decisions on your behalf, you're unable to, you can't say in there, I want to use these voluntary assisted dying laws. You can't do it in an advanced health directive either. And those two documents I've referred to are the newest parts of estate planning. Everyone should have them, because they go to the core of, you know, what happens to you if you are incapacitated and don't really want to be on an artificial breathing system for 40 years. Things like that you can put in there. You can't say, though, I want you to assist my death. the next really important part continues to be the enduring power of attorney. You know, if you are in a coma, what can people do with your money and your property? That's not going to be affected by these laws. But I will say this, just in closing, where I think, again, and this is untested and I don't want to alarm people, but where I guess the legal mind has to think is what can go wrong with new law. And in that thinking, our estate planning team does wonder whether someone knows that you want to use these laws and you've made that clear, and for whatever reason they want your money, just how much of a temptation does it create in the context of elder abuse and other criminal offences? They're the things that will worry me until we're years down the track and we see if it's happening or it's not. But look, in short, estate planning, it's more than a simple will, and everybody needs to get a whole suite of documents done. I have to say, though, it's not anywhere near as expensive as most people think.
Simon, really appreciate you coming on today. Good advice, and it's good having a chat to you. And we got lots of interaction this morning with people's thoughts on it. We're sitting at about 80% that don't agree and about 20% roughly that do agree with these laws. So it's really it's quite divided in the community, but it's very interesting. I really appreciate your time today, Simon.
It's always a pleasure.
Good on you, Simon. My guest on the line this morning has been Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group, and we have been chatting about the new voluntary assisted dying laws that are now in place here in WA. Lifeline is available if you need some help on 13 11 14.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.